You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Last week, a report assessing the carcinogenic risk of vaping compared to smoking was released in the New Zealand Medical Journal. It combined data from previous global research studies to try to calculate cancer risk for vaping. While the risk was found to be currently unquantifiable, the report did conclude that vape's cancer risk is likely lower than cigarette smoking but higher than normal levels, meaning using vapes to help quit smoking was viable, but anyone else taking up vaping is unnecessarily increasing their carcinogenic risk. To discuss the findings of the report, issues of addiction, and potential preemptive government action, I spoke to University of Auckland Associate Professor George Waking. Can you tell us about this report on carcinogenic risk in vaping and what its findings were?
So the report is what you call a literature review. The authors are a team from Christchurch, and they have expertise in toxicology, and they looked at what's been published globally about the potential of components of the what they call vape smoke. They admit that smoke's not an accurate term, but it's the aerosol vapor that comes out of the electronic cigarettes. And so they've looked at the international literature on vaping aerosols and studied that for potential for it to contain things that can cause cancer.
The report mentions putting context on vaping's hazards, referring to their potential as a tool to stop smoking, but not helpful otherwise. Were 13.5% of 15 to 7-year-olds vaping daily, according to the last New Zealand Health Survey? Do you think vapes are mostly being used for this anti-smoking purpose, or there's something that can be improved here?
So I think if we take a step back and look at how things are likely to play out over time, at the start of vaping, there wasn't a lot of vaping and there was relatively more smoking. So you could say that vapes plausibly might be used as a way for people to get off smoking. But then as time goes on and there's less and less smoking, but vaping kind of continues, if vaping does continue, even though smoking goes away, then yes, the people who vape may not have been people who would have continued to smoke. They might have been people who became addicted to nicotine or decided they liked nicotine having tried it by smoking to start with, but I think there is evidence that quite a few people, their first taste of nicotine is from vaping, and so they haven't really been smokers, but they've picked up vaping and continued vaping.
And can you talk about that risk that the nicotine and a cycle of addiction that vapes can provide can do, especially to someone who's as young as 15?
Well, so I think one of the things that this paper does try to do is to put vaping next to the risks of tobacco smoking, which is a start, because the whole thing about risk is you always want to put it in some sort of perspective. Absolutely everything that we do in our life is risky. You know, just stepping out the front door is risky. And it's clear that there's risk associated with vaping. I think everyone who's looked at vaping from the beginning has agreed with that, because nothing is totally free of risk. But the question is always how much and how does it compare to other things? I mean, that's one of the things that the authors point out in this paper. A lot of the things that have been reported from vaping aerosols are present in the environment anyway. Like that stuff, acrylein, is just everywhere in the environment from combustion engines. These are all things that people are extensively exposed to one way or another. But there's an extra exposure if people take up vaping. But actually, the authors concluded that the amount of extra risk to health or from cancer from being exposed to those things from vaping, in their words, is unquantifiable. You can say that in principle there's some risk there, but they've concluded that they can't say how much risk, only that it exists and it's less than the risk that you get from smoking. So to me, this type of paper is a first kind of step into the whole field of sizing up the risks physically that vaping has for people who vape. I mean, the other thing the authors concluded is because that risk exists, they found it very difficult to identify any benefit of vaping for its own sake, which, you know, as opposed to vaping to quit smoking. And I think anyone who works in the health area would agree with that conclusion. They'd already have agreed with that conclusion. It's very hard to identify a benefit of something that carries risk. Been very hard, I think, for people to say, you know, what actually is the benefit of becoming addicted to nicotine.
Yeah, and with that addiction to nicotine, especially with some of the young, like we're seeing people quite young getting into it, does that have any potential neurological impact, or does that make people more likely to get into other substance addictions in the future?
Well, I think, again, with addictions, I think it's good to take a step back and ask what leads people to become addicted to things. And to my mind, a very big driver of addiction is this thing called trauma that exists universally for humanity. I mean, all people carry some sort of trauma one way or another, and there seems to be a connection between trauma and then going down that pathway of becoming addicted to something. So I personally don't feel especially convinced that becoming addicted to vape nicotine is necessarily a kind of, you know, people have used the word gateway for other types of addictions, because I think the driver of addiction is much deeper than simply having taken up nicotine. And I think the answers to why people become addicted, you find that actually in trauma, which relates a lot more to how we treat each other as people in the world, which is a different thing from becoming addicted to a commercial product.
You don't think there's any risk that potentially nicotine could worsen that, you know, take vulnerable people who've come from traumatic situations and get them deeper into addiction?
I think there's... I wouldn't rule that out completely. People can get into, like, spiralling situations. But the point I want to make is, if you want to stop processes, you should go for the root cause of that process. You know, I'm involved in research to help people quit vaping. It's the New Zealand Quit Vaping Trial, also known as EQIT3, EQIT3, and people who vape and are interested in stopping can have a look at the EQIT3 trial on our website and might be interested in joining that. But My own view is that all these efforts that we make to help people come back from addictions and maybe not continue in that spiral of one addiction after another, they're kind of like band-aids, because the real way to stop the whole process of addiction is to stop the underlying drivers. You know, I come back to this word trauma.
Is there anything you think the government could be doing more specifically to stop those underlying drivers?
Yeah, well, I've mentioned this, isn't it? Because the thing about addictions right now is they're an incredible business model. And to me, that is the thing that I find really offensive about the industries that create addictions. And, you know, I've got to include the vaping industry in this nowadays, because clearly it's a bit different from simply helping people to get off combusted cigarettes, but so long as there's a lot of people who maintain a nicotine addiction, actually that's a profitable business model for industry, and it sits alongside a whole lot of really profitable business models that are based on profiting from people's addictions. So, you know, gambling, casinos, alcohol, for example. All these things that are in the addiction space, and industry can make money out of them. And I think the thing I'd really like to see the government do is regulate or make things so it's just not really profitable to run these businesses and these industries. And then I would expect that but this kind of commercial pressure that puts things like fights and booze and gambling in front of people would die back because there wouldn't be money to be made out of it. It's very hard for our government to put that type of policy in place for all sorts of reasons. One of the really big reasons that we have is the money that exists in politics at the moment. I mean, it's well known. It's money opens doors in New Zealand politics these days, and the industries that profit from addiction are wealthy industries and influential with our politicians. So I think for the government to make progress on this, it's got to get money out of politics so that those commercial voices are not able to exercise political power by funding election campaigns and open door access to lobby our government.
That was University of Auckland Associate Professor George Laking speaking to me about a report published in the New Zealand Medical Journal analysing the carcinogenic risk in vaping.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.